Chapter 11, The Hospital, The Destination of Those Who Are Too Curious. Just as there is Brahma, there is Siva. Brahma and Siva are like present and past. Steve had arrived at the destination of all people who are too curious, the middle hospital, the end, which is Siva. He knew, and we know, that is an exaggeration, but it is also true that many people in the hospital learn to talk in past and present tenses like, I did this, or I feel trashy, or this is not what I perceive as the normal course of events, or I feel like I'm at a dead end. The doctor in the hospital had put Steve on an old antipsychotic drug, Thorazine. He suffered extreme side effects, as do many people who are forced to take it. All Steve could do was drool and shake in a torpor, confined to bed in a drug-induced depression that mimicked the fear and guilt that people feel and imagine on death row. He appeared more mentally ill with Thorazine than he seemed without it. For many weeks, he just lay in bed thinking he deserved this torture of tortures for his bad behavior. He thought he'd been insane when he'd acted out at the Tantra Center, and these pills were his punishment. But even then, it was denial that he faced. He didn't see that he needed to play it safe by avoiding drugs and not toying with the paranormal, which were the two roots of his mental disability. The psychedelic drugs had made him think he possessed paranormal powers, which had been, in fact, minor psychotic episodes. In time, he realized that he couldn't properly compensate for his sins, so he decided to accept himself as he was. He conscientiously avoided his weakness for the paranormal and the mystical without giving them up completely. Unfortunately, even with his increased self-awareness, he being so doped up those first weeks, he was in such a fog he barely remembered even seeing the doctor. One day, when Steve had another depressing and unbearable appointment with the psychiatrist, he entered the waiting area of the doctor's office and looked at him. Oddly, Steve became aware enough to perceive the doctor telling the nurse that Thorazine appeared to be the right choice for Steve, even though Steve suffered terribly from it. It suddenly didn't seem so likely that the doctor might be poisoning him as he had thought. Without knowing the doctor's real intentions, Steve finally ceased suspecting that the doctor was out to get him, simply because he got tired of speculating about it. He thought, somebody has to run this hospital. There must be some good doctors here. Let me describe how, because of the self-righteous acts of the doctor, Steve first began forgiving himself more and forgiving less those other people like the doctor who hurt his feelings. After the psychiatrist boasted to his nurse, Steve stared intensely as the doctor sauntered into the office wearing a fancy cloak. There was a gleam in his eye as though the devil himself had given him permission to throw accusations at Steve, as if Steve's single misstep at the Tantra Center was so misguided that the doctor felt it his duty to give Steve a medicine which would make him feel awful and guilt-ridden. Although many times Steve had accepted the doctor's accusations without question, Steve had retained a degree of innocence about his mistakes, which he was now beginning to nurture and regard with respect rather than with shame. The doctor bore an unsatisfied expression that betrayed his impatience with Steve, as if he could barely wait to feed bad information to the court that had put the hold on Steve, making him the pale object of ridicule. Steve tried not to drool, one side effect of the Thorazine. He knew that if he drooled, the doctor would have more reason to accuse Steve of incapacity. Steve imagined he could see through the doctor's cover that the doctor was scheming to prove to his colleagues that Steve was nothing more than a basket case. It seemed strange that his guilt-ridden world was of no consequence to others here, and that this callous doctor wanted to conquer and claim his world without quarter. Steve complained about the Thorazine, but to no avail. He suffered many months in mental anguish, believing that if he waited patiently, it would soon be over. After nearly 6 months in the hospital, Steve began to feel despondent and wondered if he should run away. It was not a very secure hospital. He could have run many times, but didn't. One night he dreamt that he was cold in the fog of San Francisco, and the doctor offered Steve his cloak. Steve took it, but the devil had been sewn on it. Steve told the doctor that he wouldn't wear it. The doctor said, "Give me your jeans." "I can't give you my jeans," Steve replied. "They're the only pair I have." "No, I want your genes, your DNA. You seem to have such first-class genes. I can possess and manipulate them into perpetuity." Steve woke up feeling as Jesus must have felt when he refused the devil's temptation on the mountain. He felt lost. The next morning, the nurse approached Steve and said, "I've done you a big favor. We have a real nice doctor who works down the hall. I'll bet he can stabilize your meds." "I talked with him and told him that I didn't like the way your doctor was overdosing you with something that isn't compatible with you. You're going to see him today." Steve felt as though he had heard an angel sing. "Thanks a lot," he sputtered. The new doctor worked with a smile and a methodological attitude. He wore Ben Franklin glasses, and though he appeared strained and to have seen many hard days at the hospital, he also seemed to still have compassion. "First of all, Steve," he began, "I want to say that we are going to try some new drugs on you to get rid of that tremor you have and the anguished feelings you've reported. We have a doctor in admittance who handles all the incoming cases and does a very poor job of stabilizing the patients. I think he believes in enforcing chemical purgatory," he added with a chuckle. "He seems to choose the drug that will affect the client in the worst way possible. I wish he wouldn't do that," he said with a sigh. "It takes all kinds in this world we live in. Blessed are the meek." He gazed down at Steve's file. "We've noticed in your group sessions that you have been naturally attentive and remorseful about having smashed a statue at that yoga center in San Francisco. Many times the first doctors slap on a diagnosis without considering the patient at all, only condemning what they've done, thus creating stigma. I believe you are misdiagnosed as a psychopath. In fact, it's way out of line. I've systematically reanalyzed the diagnosis. I believe you have an anxiety disorder with psychotic tendencies. You also appear to be a dual diagnosis case. You imagine things are happening that really aren't proven facts, like your premonitions that are shrouded in anxiety. I don't deny that you think those premonitions seem real, but as a part of your therapy, I think you should fictionalize these experiences. Also, I've noticed a note in your chart that you were delusional about having been diagnosed as a diabetic. It stated you supposedly went to the free clinic in Berkeley and got tested. I contacted them and found that you had not been delusional and had in fact been there. I'm going to retest you and perhaps put you on meds. Just a day ago, we administered a routine blood test to determine your liver function. It seems strained, but in fairly good condition, even after the hepatitis you had when you were young. This means no insulin shots. I'm hoping the migraines, abnormal psychosis, fatigue, and depression will fade with the diabetic meds, although I doubt all of them will go away. You have reported hearing things. Unfortunately, that will be the hardest thing to conquer." The doctor paused a moment before continuing. "I'm Catholic, so I believe in the devil. You must know that the devil wants to deceive us. That's what these premonitions do to you. They deceive your good sensibilities and bend your perception into false truths. By false truths, I don't mean that your perceptions aren't real, but rather are half-truths that will destroy you. Good logic can see through these deceptions." At the end of the session, Steve felt like blessing the doctor. He wanted to write a letter to the Pope to proclaim the doctor a saint too, because the meds Steve had been given caused no ill side effects. He no longer drooled and jerked around in bed. And as soon as he was put on glucophage, most of his migraines disappeared as well.